At least I have an
answer. What are we looking for?
I also have an answer.
We're looking for a Mishnah Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. A Mishnah Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the 19th parak of Masecha Shabbos, is all about Mila. What's Mila doing in Masecha Shabbos? So number one, there isn't another address within the framework of Masechtas for Mila per se. And Mila B'Shabbos is a Masecha Shabbos topic. So ostensibly, the 19th parak of Masecha Shabbos, which we call parak of Belezer de Mila, is about Mila B'Shabbos. And Mimela, from that, the Mishnayos get into some general issues of, and the Gemara certainly, get into some general issues of Mila as well. And that's actually incredibly important notion to keep in mind as we turn our eyes and our minds to Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. So the Mishnah is about which? Mishnah is about Mila or about Mila B'Shabbos? Mila B'Shabbos. Right? Mishnah says, Osen kol tzarchei Mila B'Shabbos, Molin, Porin, Motzitzin. When you have a Mila B'Shabbos, you can do all the tzarchei Mila. You can do the three core steps of Mila, Mila Priya Metzitza, as well as taking care of other health concerns and bandaging and so on and so forth. You can put on this palanis, you can put on the kimono, the bandage, and the cumin, which was used as some sort of antiseptic cream. And then the Mishnah goes on to talk about some of the details of what do you do if you didn't, you should have prepared everything beforehand. Obviously, you can't put on the cream beforehand, because the meal is only being, the wound is only being created on Shabbos. You could have prepared the cream beforehand, you could prepare the bandage beforehand. The Mishnah talks about the details. How do you deal with a situation where you come, show up Shabbos morning, do the bris milah, you realize that some of the prep hasn't been done. Okay. But again, that the core idea of the Mishnah is always called Sarchi Milah B'Shabbos. When you're doing a meal on Shabbos, you can do the milah itself, which is milah and priya, like we discussed the other day. Right? There are two layers of tissue that cover the atara. There's a thicker foreskin, the Ar HaOrla, and we're cutting that away is called Mila, and then underneath the Ar HaOrla there's a thinner membrane called the Ar HaPriya, and it needs to either be retracted, rolled back, or else cut off, and that's what we call Priya. So you do Mila and Priya, it's the Mila itself, and the third step is already a health consideration, presumably, as the Pasha's Motzitzin, to draw away some of the blood from the wound, was assumed to be for the safety of the child, as well as bandaging and putting on ointments. Okay. We don't use kimon, we use bacitracin, neosporin, but the idea is the same. In the course of this mission, the mission ends up telling us what the stages of Mila are any day of the week. But the mission is presenting this as it did in Hilchos Shabbos, because Mila is Doch HaShabbos. More specifically, you should know, Mila Bizmana is Doch HaShabbos. That's other Mishnayos in this parak. That even though if a Mila doesn't happen Yom HaShmini, you do it at the first available opportunity, but no longer on Shabbos. If for any reason the Mila did not happen on the eighth day, whether the baby wasn't healthy, or the mole got stuck in traffic, or whatever it is, for whatever reason, or I wasn't sure when the eighth day was, because the baby was born Ben HaShmashos. Right? So then, if the Mila gets, let's say a baby is born during Kabbalah Shabbos. A baby is born Friday evening, 10 minutes after sunset. So that's a Ben HaShmashos. Either it's still Friday or it's already Shabbos. We treat it as a Suffolk Friday, Suffolk Shabbos. So next week, we're not going to do the Mila on Friday, because maybe Friday is Suffolk 8th day, Suffolk 7th day. So you can't do Mila on Friday. That's the next option is Shabbos. Right? If a baby is born in between Monday and Tuesday, we do the bris the next week on Tuesday, because Tuesday is either 8 or 9. But if it's Friday Shabbos, you can't do the meal on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Suffolk 8th, Suffolk 9th. Can't do it on Suffolk 9th, so you end up pushing it to Sunday. So for whatever reason, for any variety of good reasons, bad reasons, whatever it is, Lamaisa, if it's no longer Mila Bizmana, you cannot do it on Shabbos. You can only do it Mila's Docha Shabbos only if it's a Mila Bizmana. Mila Bizmana, Docha Shabbos. But in a normal situation where it is a Mila Bizmana, and it's going to be Docha Shabbos, so then you can do all you can do the Mila itself, the Mila Priya, as well as the Metzitza and the bandaging. That's what our Mishnah says. The Gemara is said, turning the Yama to the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis, the Gemara is sensitive to a wrinkle in the language of the Mishnah. What wrinkle? What's the bump in the language of the Mishnah that the Gemara was bothered by, David? Yeah? Yeah, the opening phrase. Osen kol tzarchei milah b'shabbos. That's a nice general principle. If you have just said that, good. But you say you can do all tzarchei milah on Shabbos, and then you proceed to give me a comprehensive list of every single one. Molin, parin, motetzin, espolanis, kimon. So what's left? So what you have to give me? So it was superfluous. It was an unnecessary sentence. The Mishnah should have just said, Moa v'Shabbos, Moalin, Porin, Motzitz, etc. What do you have to give that general principle for? Mechti, says the Gemara, top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis.
What's the principle
there? Let's take a look at the Gemara. Mechti. Let's take a look. Kasani Kulu, the Mishnah listed all that. The Mishnah listed all of the Tzarchei Milah. The Mishnah listed Moalin, Porin, Motzitz, it's Pelanis Kemon. So Kol Tzarchei Milah LaSuei Mai. So this phrase Osin Kol Tzarchei Milah LaSuei Mai. What's that meant to include? Didn't we list them all? We list them all. So are we adding some sixth step? What's the chiddush of Osin Kol Tzarchei Milah B'Shabbos? We could have left out the first few words. We could have started the Mishnah from the word B'Shabbos. B'Shabbos, Mol and Porin, Motzis, and Osin, and Esplanus, and Kemon. What's added by having those first four words, Osin, Kol, Tzarchei Milah? So the Gemara says, you know what's added? Lasuye Hayatan Rabbanan. It adds the following din that appears in the Brisa, but was not made explicit in the Mishnah. It's only the phrase, Osin, Kol, Tzarchei Milah, that's marbid. What din does the Brisa have? The what? Of. Let's see. Tana Rabbanan, Hamal, person is doing a milah. Calls Mancha Osik Mimila, actually says Hamal B'Shabbos. Person doing a milah on Shabbos, so calls Mancha Osik Mimila, as long as the mol is still there. He said Ala Mila, the father's busy saying his bracha, Chitzbrit Shavron Avinu, and the mol makes a cut. Hopefully he sets up the guard so one slice is enough to remove all the tissue needs to remove. He realizes, no. He didn't set the guard right. He didn't cut quite as much as he thought he would. So he's going to need to do another movement of the knife. Right? A second cut. So Kozma, as long as he's still there, he's still in position, doing the meal on the baby, Choser, you can go back and make a second cut. Bein al titzin ha-makvis ha-mila, bein al titzin she'en makvis ha-mila. Obviously, the mole realizes the first cut didn't remove enough to be yotze the mitzvah. Of course he can make a second cut. That's mila bizman adokha shabbos. But the Brisa says, even if he realizes, he thought he's going to cut off 100% of the arla, then he realizes, no, he only cut off 80%. There's 20% that remains. It's tzitzin she'ein ma'akven. It's a skin tag, little tags of skin that are left. There are not enough to hold the mila back. You already yotze, hider mitzvah. You can do that as well. As long as he's still there. Right, piresh. But once he leaves and comes back, typically a mohel comes back to check on the baby later. So often he'll come back an hour or so later. If you're the guest of the bris mila, you may not be sensitive to this, but the mother is gone for much of the seuda of the bris mila. Usually right after bris mila, she's going to take care of the baby and calm the baby down and feed the baby. And then later on, at some point during the seuda, the mohel is going to come back and check, do a first examination of the bris. And then usually he'll come back the next day also to see how the wound is healing and to give the parents more instructions for wound care and how to bandage it and so on and so on. So the mole comes back an hour later and that's Piresh. He left and now he's back. And now he says, oh, he didn't cut quite as much as he thought. So can he make another cut now? Now the bris is well. Al tzitzam akvus amila chozer. Once he comes back later, it's a new session. So then he can only begin to do Chilul Shabbos if it's real mitzvah meal. If he realizes he wasn't even yotzei yet, is it tzitzis ha'ma'akvin, then of course, that's meal b'zma'adov for Shabbos. But if he comes back an hour later and he sees, oh, there's a little skin tag, it would be hider mitzvah to cut it off, that tzitzis she'en ma'akvin ha'mila, if it's not large enough to be ma'akev, eino chozer. He does not go back. I'm sorry, you missed your chance. It's already a new session. The Gemara goes on to say, you saw part of the Gemara goes on to say that our Brisa, this Brisa, holds that
You leave and you come back, that's considered disconnected. The Gemara goes on to say, where do we have other Tanaim in other contexts who say that? Also, the Gemara says that the Machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Yossi, in terms of how would you switch Lecha upon them on Shabbos. Right? You said that Gemara later on the Amud. And Chachamim are the ones who insist, the position that we're more familiar with, you have to mamish, you know, as you're sliding off the old set, you have to slide on the new set, so it'll be tamid. So it'll be always be covered with lecha panim. But the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yossi says, it'll be okay to take the old lecha panim off and come back an hour later, Rashi says, and put in the new ones. Tamid means that you can't go a whole day without lecha panim. But Chachamim say, no, mamish has to be one moment to the next. So the Gemara says that's sort of what this Brisa is saying. That if you leave and come back, that's already a new start. That's a new story. You left, you came back an hour later to check in the Bris Milah. This is a new story. It's not a hemshech of what was going on before. And therefore, let's give some examples. Let's see, you had 8:45 Shacharis, Shabbos morning. At the end of Davening, they did the Bris Milah. After Davening's over, they did the Bris Milah at 11 o'clock. And then the Mol comes back. By 11:05, the Mol's already doing the actual Maisa Mila. Then he comes back at 12 to check on the baby. And he discovers at 12, something there that wasn't cut, can he cut it now? So he asks you, Rabbi, can I do a new act of cutting? Or is that a problem on Shabbos? Right. So you're going to say to him, well, it depends how much is left. If there's so much left that you're not having Yotze Mila yet, so do it now, that will be the Mila Bismana. That's an act of Mila. But if it's just Hidr Mitzvah, they say, I'm sorry. What happens at 12 o'clock is not a direct continuation of what happened at 11:05. That's Piresh. You left, you came back, like Lecha Panim. If it's not one to the next, it's a very new session. So I'm sorry, Hidr Mitzvah is not going to be Docha Shabbos. Mila was Docha Shabbos, but Hidr Mitzvah alone is not Docha Shabbos. That's what our Gemara says. We just read the Gemara with Rashi. And let's just tie up the loose ends. So the Gemara was saying that the added din that our Mishnah was being merames to, Osim Atzar Kamila B'Shabbos, is what? What added chiddush do we just get from the Brisa? That what's Docha Shabbos, which is surprising? Good. That as long as you're still in the same session, you could do even the Hidr Mitzvah, even the Tzitzin Shein Matzin, even though it's a new Maisa. I made one cut. They cut off most of the Arla, and I'm done. Yotze the mitzvah, but it's called by low pirish. I can do a new maisa, which will be considered a hemshach of the old one, to do the mila bezman docha Shabbos will cover additional action, additional maasim, as long as you're still in the same session, even though it's just Hidr Mitzvah, which is an interesting finish. Okay, so that's what the Brisa meant. Also called tzarchei mila b'Shabbos means sometimes we even allow you to do a separate act just to cut away the tzitzis shei makvin, provided that it's low pirish, provided that you're still in the same Mila session. That's how our Gemara seems to read. Now, so far, so good. Beautiful. Very nice. Very nice. Is this a direct question of Havana, or is this like a what if? Yeah. I'm not sure. Lo silek yadam. That could be. Okay. But the mole never comes back a minute later. It doesn't happen. He's saying he walked away to start wrapping up, and then he looks back and realizes, maybe. Okay, could be. I mean, later on, the maybe. The Rashi later talks about Lefisha. You're right, maybe even a minute or two is already considered to be a new session. Could be. Yes.
What's the connection between the Bris Milah and the Lachapana?
Both are situations, good questions, both are situations where we say it's only if you have a new session, it's not considered to be connected to the previous session. If you leave and come back. Right. Correct. Exactly. Now, if you look at here, here's a wonderful opportunity to read a Rambam sensitively. This is something we were talking about just last week, I believe, that oftentimes being aware of the genre, the style of Sefer, the format of a Sefer that the Rishon is writing, is key to appreciating what to be sensitive to, what's in the daikin, what questions to ask, what to expect, where. And much as we spoke about last week in the previous Hanukkah, so yeah, two things to be very aware of in the way the Rambam built his Mishnah Torah. It was definitely very deliberately built and designed.
is number one, that he is a stickler for great organization. Things are where they belong. And that was one of his major goals in putting together the Mishnah Torah, was not only to pull out the lines of Tarshah Peh, only those lines that are halacha l'maisel maskana, as opposed to the Shak Vataria, as opposed to Shitas we don't paskin like, but also to take things and put them back. Gemara is conversational, and things could appear in a lot of different topics, could appear what seems to be out of place, because that's a nature of a conversation. The Rambam was trying to do is that that's a conversation, but I'm going to write, as he puts it, not a pirish, but a chibur. He talks about, in his letter to Pinchas Adayan, that he was very self-aware of the fact that he was writing, the Mishnah Torah was meant to resemble Mishnayos, not Gemara. He says both in language and in format. In language, he chose to write Mishnah Torah in Hebrew, and specifically in sort of like a sort of Mishnaic Hebrew. Right? Not biblical Hebrew, it's Mishnaic Hebrew, or more or less, rather than Aramaic. And he says, B'loshon HaMishnah, but also in the format of Mishnayos, that it's a chibur rather than a perish. It's not an analysis, it's not an exposition, it's not a conversation like Gemara is, but it's like Mishnayos. It's basically dinim. Everyone's like Mishnayos, everyone's a long while there'll be a kasha or a teretz, everyone's a long while there'll be a makar or a pasuk, but the svara, but the vast majority of the time you're just presenting data. Dinim. This case, this din. This case, this din. This case, this din. The Rambam even explains why one of the striking differences is the Mishnayos do present machlokas, and Mishnayos do present names. The Rambam did not do either. But he explains why he's actually been very consistent based on the Mishnayos in the first paragraph of Adius. Now is not the time for that. He was definitely very self-aware of the fact that he was attempting to... Mishnah Torah is supposed to be in many ways cast in the model of Mishnayos. Rav Shailat of Ma'aleh Adumim even has a theory that the Rambam was... He said, like, the Rambam's hero, well, in many ways, was Rehu HaNasi. Like, if you imagine, Lahavdil, like, growing up, who was in the poster, you know, who the Rambam have in the poster on his wall in his bedroom? It was Rehu HaNasi. That was his hero. His hero was Tamei Chacham in general, Rehu HaNasi in particular. Always a good question to ask ourselves. Who are our heroes? Your hero is Rabbi Kiva instead of Rehu HaNasi. That's not an issue. Important to ask, you know, what sorts of people are your heroes and what is it about them that makes you look up to them? That's a very, very, very important question. Certainly a very important Hanukkah question in terms of distinguishing between Yados and his Yavnos. But anyhow, Ram's specific, not only was Tanam Aram, the Ram's heroes, but specifically Yehuda Nasi. So he's writing Mishnah Torah in many ways like Mishnayos, but even more strict in terms of organization, and that's number one. Everything is where it belongs, and so much so you could often even be medai, make diukim from how you could figure out something about how the Rambam would understand a din by looking at its address. He put it in this parak, not that parak. The first piece in Briskrav say from the Rambam is built on, well, the Rambam put the dinim in parak hey, not parak vav, parak dalet, that tells you that it's this type of din instead of that type of din, because this parak is about this topic and that parak is about a slightly different topic. So location is key. Another thing is to remember, as we spoke about last week, in that letter to Pinchas Adayan, he also writes that as much as possible, everything is a quote. Every line, as much as possible, is a direct quote of a Mishnah, Gemara, Yerushalmi, a Tosefta, a Medrash Halacha, but a something. He may be giving his own twist, his own interpretation of it, but he's quoting sources, Kitsurasam, as much as possible. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the second parak of the Rambam's Hilchos Mila. I didn't have space on the page to give you the whole parak sheni, so instead I gave you excerpts, which hopefully are important clues to notice a pattern that should ought to jump out at you. See, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, there's a second page in the packet, the Rambam is already beginning to talk about cases, the process of Mila. The first paragraph, I believe, was more about sort of general issues, maybe about the timing, or the who can do Mila. Now we're talking about the process, like what do you do? What are the steps of doing a Mila? Mila and Priya and so on and so forth. See, he talks about doing a Mila, and doing a Priya, and what do you have to remove? Okay. And he gets to Halacha Dalet, Hamal, because mancho sake b'mila, choser be'altitz nishim akvin, be'altitz shein makvin. If you're doing a mila, as long as you haven't left, lo piresh, so you can even go back for the tzitz and shein makvin. But piresh, once you walked away, now you're coming back, so then you only could be choser for the tzitz and makvin, but not for the tzitz and shein makvin. Tov. Good. All right, what's Rambam quoting? Which source Rambam quoting? Right? Which Amud? Amud Beis. Right? Specifically, the Braisa, Tana Rabban, the Braisa that appeared, that was quoted by the Gemara on top of Kuf Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis. Good. And then you go on, that's Halacha Dalet. Then you move on to Halacha Vav, where he quotes, Oskol Tzarchei Mila B'Shabbes. You can do Tzarchei Mila B'Shabbes. What's he quoting now? Halacha Vav is the Mishnah, right? Before you even go weiter, anything strike you? What strikes you? Pardon?
He only quotes two parts of the Mishnah. He stops before he speaks even.
Okay. Well, let's come back to how he quotes the Mishnah in a moment. Good. Think about organization. Think about sequence. What's striking about sequence? Coop?
Well, I know that he says that in Dalet that even if it's not Shabbos, you can't.
How do you know they're talking in Shabbos in Dalet, but not Shabbos?
Oh, I mean, I don't know what's between Beis and Dalet, but Dalet itself is not doesn't reference Shabbos at all.
Right, and now it does not reference Shabbos, but where does he reference Shabbos?
Nice.
Well, the first time they told us that you do all the steps of meal on Shabbos, halacha, Vav. Right, that's what you guys were going to say. Right, it's out of order, lechora. Right, you only halacha vav. Did you tell me that you're allowed to do a meal on Shabbos? Halacha dal, you're already telling me that about going back for tzitz and shein makvin, going back for tzitz makvin. And now let's get back to your point about what does he say halacha vav? Also, go tzarcha meal b'Shabbos. Right, we said this sounds like this is a quote of our Mishnah. Parag dal halacha dal is the quote of the Tana Rabbanan. Halacha vav is the quote of the Mishnah. Oh, it certainly sounds that way. Also, go tzarcha meal b'Shabbos. You do all tzarcha meal b'Shabbos. Molin. Porin, Motzitzin, so far so good, and Choser al Tzitzin ha-Makvin afo pisha pirish, al Tzitzin she'en ma'akvin kol zman shelo pirish. What's that a quote from? It's from the Gemara's interpretation of the Mishnah, right? The Gemara said that's pshat in Osnol Tzarchim Mila B'Shabs. So Halacha Vav is a quote of the Mishnah, and Halacha Vav tells me about the Tzitzin ma'akvin she'en ma'akvin. Now we have two problems. Number one, Halacha Dalet is too early, and it's redundant, because Ram says the same thing twice. What's going on? So what's the answer? Beautiful. Right, the Rashi in the Gemara said, it was a one-word Rashi. Hamol b'Shabbos. Rashi said that whole Bryce is only talking about Shabbos. The Ram says, again, this is such a beautiful example, the Ram has a Chiddush that he doesn't tell you I'm saying a Chiddush. But if you read carefully, see how he quotes things, it'll jump out at you. The Rambam quotes the Braisa independent of Shabbos. That's a general principle, that you're not chozer for tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. A. The Gemara was saying that Braisa was talking about Tuesday also has relevance for Shabbos. Rashi thought that the Mishnah is saying exactly what the Braisa said. The Braisa is more explicit than Mishnah's Beremes. Rambam says, no. The Braisa isn't talking about Shabbos. The Braisa is telling me a general din in Hilchos Mila. That you're not chozer for tzitzin shei ma'akvin. That if there's a piece that would be only hiddur mitzvah and you already finished the Mila, you don't go back. By the way, that's also true on Shabbos. But it's two separate dinim. Which is why Halacha Dalet, he's already quoting the Braisa. And Halacha Vav, he talks about the Mishnah, which is talking about Shabbos. But then you say, okay, so that's pshat. Now you understand the sort of the structure. But now you have to understand the Svar Shevadavar. What's wrong? No, the Gemara was asking. No, the Rambam says that the Gemara was saying, you know that Braisa that talks about Tzitzin Makvin Shein Makvin, that's a din during the week, which we'll have to get back to in a moment. By the way, that's also the Mishnah was talking about those dinim in the context of Shabbos. The Mishnah was telling you that even on Shabbos, you can go back for Tzitzin Shein Makvin, Kozman Shlo Pirish. But the Bryce itself for the Rama wasn't talking about Shabbos. The Bryce had mentioned the case which the Mishnah is talking about, but not the same, yeah?
Why would you have thought Dal is out of place?
Why would I have thought Dal is out of place? Because we haven't yet said anything about Shabbos.
Right.
Well, exactly. That's what you see is that they're unlike Rashi, very subtly but clearly, the Rambam is disagreeing with Rashi in terms of how to interpret that brisa. Okay. Now, but let's think about that a little more. That means what? That means what would Rashi say? How does this translate? Let's talk this through. Let's unpack it. That means on a Tuesday morning, you're doing a bris milah, right? So, in what case do Rashi and the Rambam disagree, Lamaisa?
If you appear.
Yeah.
Prisha
for what? What type of tzitzit? Tzitzit Jain Lachman, right? The you did a bris milah after the 8 o'clock minion, 6:30 minion on a Tuesday morning. And so the mole is done with the milah by 7:15. At 7:45, he goes into the side room, the shul, the bris room. The mother has a baby, and he goes to examine the baby. And the mole sees a half hour after he's done with the milah that it's pretty good, yotze, but there's a little bit tzitzit shein machmen left. Do I cut them off? Hider mitzvah. So Rashi says, yeah, we never said no. Shabbos you can't, because it's chilul Shabbos. Okay, because this is no longer covered by milah bezman, doch Shabbos. The Rambam says, don't cut it off. And here the problem is, yeah, what's wrong? Shabbos, I understand. Because every time you do a milah Shabbos, you're always caught between the mitzvah of milah versus malacha Shabbos. So if this is only hit their mitzvah, it's later on. It's chilul Shabbos. I understand what the problem is. But I understand what's the tension during the week. What's wrong? You can't be chozer? I can't do Hidr Mitzvah? I can't do Hidr Mitzvah. Yeah, what do you say?
Because once you separate from the mitzvah, it's like you already completed the mitzvah, so you can't go back in the Haver if you didn't.
Ooh. So yeah, I can't add Hidr later, yeah? Is?
Is the Rambam saying that it's a bad thing if you go back, or is he saying you don't even need to go back?
There's certainly no value. At the very least, there's no reason that I should.
No, I understand.
If there is no reason that I should, it'll end up being usur as chavala. In other words, to needlessly cause to wound oneself or others is an usur chavala. If people are needlessly wounding themselves, just as an aside, if someone needlessly wounding himself, it often also means that he probably needs psychological support, and you should help him get it. Rahman Tzlan, you know of a friend or an acquaintance who's cutting himself to relieve, that is sometimes something that's usually more common on teenage girls than boys, but it happens among boys too. Sometimes it's a very unhealthy way of coping with stress, but it is something that people do. If you notice someone who's cutting himself and needlessly wounding himself, so he probably needs help, and you have an incredible mitzvah, l'osam adam reyecha, to help him get the help, either to directly help him get the help or to reach out to a trusted third party, adult third party, who can help him get that help. You're doing your friend an incredible, incredible, incredible chesed. Even if he would not be happy to hear that you're getting him help, in the long run he will be very happy, as an aside. But coming back, that's not the point here. Here is not a concern of psychological distress, but l'maisa, there isn't a sur chavala. I can't wound myself or someone else for no reason. So if it's milah, shame. But if it's not meaningful hider mitzvah, so that there's no in between. If it's not meaningful hider mitzvah, then I should not be needlessly doing elective surgery here.
Okay, but applying that to other mitzvahs,
though. Okay, but at the very least, it's meaningless, right? Which is what the Rambam seems to be saying. Yes.
I don't really understand. What does Rambam mean when I said that? By the way, this also applies to Shabbos. Why would you think that Shabbos would be the exception? Or you don't have to go back.
No, you're right. No, the chiddush is, I could have thought that on Shabbos, even if low piresh, you shouldn't do an act for tzitzit and shein
ma'akin. You don't have to go back.
The chiddush is, even on Shabbos, because man shlo piresh, you could be chozer for tzitzit and shein ma'akin, even though it's just hidr mitzvah.
No, so Rebbe was saying, according to the, if you read it, it's just, you don't have to go back, period, and by the way, this also applies on Shabbos. What does that mean, and by the way, this also applies on Shabbos? It should be the way around. Why would you think that Shabbos would be different?
No, the Chiddush of Shabbos is what you are allowed to do. You are allowed to be Chozer for Hidr Mitzvah as long as it's the same session,
right.
But not when you're done with the session. Right? And then, that's what the Brisa said for Rambam. And then the Mishnah is adding, even on Shabbos, you could be chozer for Hidur Mitzvah called Zman Shlo Pirish, which is a Chiddush. They're doing a second separate act, and even though you're a Yotze the Mitzvah, I would have guessed, that's what I mean, Chel Shabbos, it's just Hidur Mitzvah, called Mashlo, no. As long as it's in the same session, it's all considered, it's all covered by the Mitzvah, by the Mila Doch Shabbos. Let's hold off on questions, these are more hands. Let's hold off on questions just for now. Let's keep the thread. So again, what do we have? Rabosai, what do we have? Let's recap what we have, and then let's analyze it and use it. What we have is we looked carefully at a Mishnah on Kuflam Gilam and Aleph, a Brice on Kuflam Gilam and Beis, and then we read a Rambam very sensitively and noticed, number one, a different interpretation between a one-word Rashi and a Rambam who didn't point, himself does not stress his Chiddush, right? But if you look at things subtly, you realize that the Rambam and Rashi are arguing number step one on how you interpret that Braisa. Parshanut. Is that Braisa talking about Shabbos, like the Mishnah? That's what Rashi says, or no, Mishnah talks about Shabbos, Braisa talks during the week. That's step one. Step two, and now that we notice his Machlokas, and we sort of process a little bit like Lamaisa, what it means in terms of Halach Lamaisa case, right? Can I be chozer al achar shapirish? Can I be chozer for hidur mitzvah tichei makvin during the week? So then the second step is to ask yourself, well, what are they arguing about? And Rashi, I understand. Well, Rambam, once again, in the same position as last year, the Buskel Rishon is not like the Rambam. Right? Well, what's driving the Rambam? What's the Rambam trying to say? I can't be chozer for hidur mitzvah during the week. Why not? Hidur mitzvah. Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos, if I'm not in Mechuyev too, I can, because it's Chil Shabbos. What's wrong during the week? The Chor, you see, is that what? Is that Rambam is telling us that's not called Hidur Mitzvah. It's not meaningful. Hidur Mitzvah is meaningless unless it's connected to the core Mitzvah. To just, I did the Hidur Mitzvah in the morning, I'm going to do Hidur Mitzvah in the afternoon, that doesn't mean anything. And it's a meaningless act. So either just pointless, or in the case of Mila, if it's pointless, then it's actually not there because it's a Chavallah Shalol Tzorach. But the core idea is that's no longer a meaningful act of Hidur Mitzvah. The Beis Halevi thought, the Shagas Aryeh gets started with this idea, Beis Halevi writes that that's absolutely true. Hidur Mitzvah cannot exist independent of the core Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah is not an independent Kiyum. It's the best way of doing the Mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the Beis Halevi is so convinced that this idea is so gewaldic, that he says, everyone agrees to that. Even Rashi, Beis Halevi says. Just he says, you know, Beis Halevi wonders, so Taka, how did Rashi disagree? Such a nice idea. And Beis Halevi, I believe, is the one who also talks about, I have two esrogim. One is Vada Kasher, but not so pretty. The other one is gorgeous, but there's some spot on it that may make it possible. So he suggests, at least in principle, I get involved the details of bracha and so on and so forth. He suggests in principle it would make sense, which one should you shake first? The one that's beautiful but suffic pasul, the one that's definitely kasher but ugly. So the Beis Halevi makes the suggestion that it would really be better to do what? To do the beautiful one first. Because you shake the beautiful one. If it's kasher, you got a kasher with hidur mitzvah. And if this case is not kasher, afterwards you'll shake with the plain Jane Esrog. But if you shake the plain Jane Esrog first, your Yotzei, for sure, it's definitely kosher, and you're done. And basically, he says, you can't add Hidur Mitzvah later. I mean, later we're going to pick up a nicer Esrog. What have you accomplished? Nothing. Hidur Mitzvah, basically, he says, all the lines of this Rambam, is to do the Mitzvah in as best a fashion as possible. So much so, Rabosai. So much so that the Beis Halevi thinks everyone agrees to this. Even Rashi. Why does Rashi say I can do Hidur Mitzvah later during the week? It's only a Shabbos issue. The Beis Halevi has several suggestions, one of which is the Maisa Mila is done, but to be Mohel, the Kiyum Mitzvah lasts forever. He has a Raya from an Agadah or David HaMelech. So you have a fancy pshat. Everyone really agrees that the Hidur Mitzvah has to be connected to the Maisa Mitzvah. Comes along his grandson, Piskarov, in his Sefer and Rambam, in Hilchas Chanukah, and says, no Zeta, that's exactly the Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Says Piskarov, Machlokes Rashi and Rambam is on a fundamental point. Can you do hiddur mitzvah later or not? Nothing to do with mila in particular. It's a general question. Can you do hiddur mitzvah independent of the ikar mitzvah? In other words, is hiddur mitzvah a separate mitzvah? It's like avos Hashem, mitzvah avos Hashem, or is it part and parcel of the ikar mitzvah? There's one way of looking at it. The Rambam's way of looking at it is when the Torah tells me zeh keli v'anvehu, or whichever pasuk it is, which tells me that about the idea of hiddur mitzvah. So Briskerov says for the Rambam, that's not a new mitzvah called hiddur mitzvah. That's just expanding the way we look at every single mitzvah. The Torah is telling me, by the way, whenever I give you a mitzvah, you should know, you should try to be mahadrit as well. You can make the mitzvah bigger and fatter and juicier by doing it in a nicer way. You could just have an esrog, or you could have a gorgeous esrog. You could just eat matzah, or it could be delicious matzah. You could just have ksiva sefer Torah, or have a beautiful sefer Torah. And that'll be a bigger mitzvah of sefer Torah. But for the Rambam, that's all hiddur mitzvah is only an expansion of the core mitzvah. While for Rashi, hiddur mitzvah has a life unto itself. When I write a sefer Torah and I make it beautiful, I did two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah and the mitzvah of hiddur mitzvah. Perhaps it's an expression of avos Hashem. It's a key in avos Hashem okecha. I show how much I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I care so much about what matters to Ribbono Shlom, so to speak. I want to go all out. I want to do it to the best of my ability, as nice as possible. Now, the hour is late. That clock is 2 minutes low. So let's encapsulate now, and we'll have to complete this after Shabbos. Let's encapsulate what we have. So far what we saw is what appears to be a machlokas Rashi and Rambam through careful reading, whether hiddur mitzvah can exist independent of the actual mitzvah or not. And for the Brisker Rav, unlike for Beis HaLevi, thought this vita machlokas, the Brisker Rav argues this is a fundamental machlokas over the nature of hiddur mitzvah. Is hiddur mitzvah just expanding each mitzvah, or is it sort of like a separate kima mitzvah in its own right? There's a separate mitzvah called hiddur mitzvah. If they say it's just an expansion of the ikar mitzvah, they do the mitzvah. If I have 5 different ways to do the mitzvah, pick the nicest one. I can't add that later. It's how you do the mitzvah. As opposed to the farashi, where it's an independent mitzvah. What we're going to do next time is essentially 2 things. Number one, we're going to dig deeper into this hakira, the abstract hakira Biskrav is putting forward, looking at something as expanding something else versus adding a new block. That comes up in Chassi Shir as well. That's often known as Klali versus Prati, a very important hakira, categories of thought to be aware of. And there's a gorgeous Ramban in the Sugya of Chassi Shir that lays it out so elegantly. And number two, besides wrapping our arms and really being kona, this klali prati way of thinking, we're also going to see how the Brisker Rav takes this perspective on hiddur mitzvah that we got from the sugya of mila and brings it back to effectively make sense of the Rambam's approach to hiddur mitzvah in the sugya of Chanukah.